glad tidings. Let's stand together as we sing it. 443. Brother David, come lead us, please, if you will. It is a good evening. We have some folks that are dealing with some things, though. We want you to remember in prayer as we begin tonight. Brother Bob Caudill went to a pretty routine checkup this morning. The doctor said, "Your heart's not very good." He said, "Well, I feel good." And he said, "Well, the tests aren't showing that." So they ran some more, said, "Go to the hospital." So he's sitting at the hospital sort of twiddling his thumbs and wondering why they're after him. But they said, "Something's wrong." So we said, don't hurry this, you know. Let's figure this out. So we're trusting that the Lord's got them figuring something out before something goes bad wrong. So anyway, be praying for Brother Bob. Be praying for Alicia Robles. Saw her today. By the way, the total offering on that home place offering, the class offering Sunday morning, was $1,040.
Amen.
And the class fund matched that, so I dropped that check off to her. Needless to say, she was overwhelmed. Of course, right now she's very overwhelmed with a lot of things, but that was a big blessing to her. Lydia Buck, there's a note here from Lydia, and then another note about Lydia as well. She says, "Because I'm left-handed, I've asked my mom to write this for me." So she's got her scribe, okay? What a way to start the day, to open my door and see a beautiful bouquet of flowers sent from my family and friends at VCBC. Thank you so much for your love and prayer. I miss you, but know God hears your prayers. Thank you, Lydia Buck. But add to this gratitude from her the need to continue to pray for her. She's in the hospital. The MRSA is in her blood, which is not a good thing, but it's not something out of our God's control, so pray for her. But don't try to go visit her. You cannot get in to visit her. You realize, even if you don't realize the seriousness of that. But it's good to pray, so pray for her as well. So many things to pray for, so let's go to the Lord, and let's remember that tonight we're here to again hear from the Lord about this matter of missions and our part, the role we can play, the role He's called us to play in whatever spot we fill in that commission. Father, we ask You tonight to point our hearts again to the cross, and Lord, to the way that fits to the plan that You have for each and every one of our lives. Lord, there is no limit to the ways in which You can use us, and there is no limit to the people that You can use as long as we'll come, willing, clean, purified, ready, given to You. Lord, I pray that even as I right now, Lord, just commit myself to You to listen, to hear, and be attentive, that all of us as one would allow the things of the world and the things of distractions of home and the cares of this life to just sort of melt away right now, and let ourselves just be quiet and still before you, that the songs that we hear would be magnified in our heart with that much more flavor of the Spirit, with that much more of your scent, God, as we get in touch with you yet again here in this place. God bless our speaker. Lord, you've empowered him this week. And Lord, I know he's trusting you tonight, and we trust you as well. But may our hearts be attentive, even eager, ready to hear what is brought to us. We will give you the honor and glory, and we do so even now. For all of this, in Jesus' name, amen. We have the privilege tonight. We've had special nights. Each night tonight, we have the privilege of hearing Brother Daniel Cox, who is the pastor over at Space Coast Baptist Church, which is not an old church, but it is an established church. God's done a great work over there. And Brother Daniel is, like our pastor, is one of these folks that can really, really preach and really, really sing. Okay? I try on one of them, and there's not even a hope of the other one. So it's I can carry a tune, and I can carry it in a bucket, but it is not a pretty bucket. I can make do. But these guys, but it's not really to exalt them. It's to remind us that with the great gifts God's given them, it is so wonderful to hear that turned back in passion towards the Lord. And you will hear that tonight from his heart and in his voice. So please, just let these songs bless your heart tonight. Brother Daniel, come on and give us what God's given to you.
Amen. Almost feel unworthy to sing after that introduction. He didn't say very handsome or very wealthy. That was really my goal in life. And but anyway, I do pray the Lord will use us as we sing tonight. Aren't you glad Jesus loves you? Say amen. Amen. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And so as we think about his love for us, I want us to think about his love for all sinners. We still serve a Savior who's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come. He said all, didn't he? Amen. That all should come to repentance. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Just how he could love me. I'm just a sinner, condemned, unclean. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had sweat drops of blood for mine. And then he took all my sins, and he took my sorrows, and there made them his very own. And then he bore my burden to Calvary, and there he suffered, and he died alone. And how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. And how marvelous, oh,
thank you for that message. Wow. And that's the message that we're trying to get around the world, that Jesus loves us, not just us. He loves every soul. And Brother Philip Pritchard is being used by God in a mighty way to not just win souls, but disciple believers, and then to train preachers to go and plant churches, not just in Cape Verde Islands, but all across Africa and Portuguese-speaking people. Brother Philip, God bless you, sir. It's good to have you and Sarah and the family. Let's see, that's Mason and Micah. And help me, please.
Sophia and Sadie.
Sophia and Sadie. Yes, how could I forget Sophia? Absolutely. Would you all stand, would you please? Right over here. God bless you. Good to have you all here. And thank you so much for coming. Amen. Brother Philip, share with us what God's been doing. God bless you.
Well, good evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house again tonight. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to every night, the bountiful blessings that have been bestowed on us with the preaching, with the singing. Amen. Amen. We are all delighted to participate in these things and to see what God is doing here in this place. I want to thank Volusia County Baptist Church for your hospitality, for your kindness, for all that you've done for our family this week. Truly, it's been good to be here. Amen. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians. As he went to Macedonia, he said that there were troubles without and fears within, and he asked that Timothy be sent unto him. And as Timothy came to him, he said, "Truly I've been consoled." And then he said, "Not only through Timothy, but through those of you that sent him to me." I'm looking, even as the Woon family and the Wadley family have presented their works, and even as I consider our own, the many things that we often go through and encounter in the ministry, what an encouragement it is to be around God's people, to be around a church like this who not only has this conference, but truly from the heart, we can see that they love the Lord, that they have a desire to see him exalted and his kingdom established on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
And we look forward so much to participating with you in those things. I'd like to present you our ministry this evening. I had a video, and technical difficulties took that away from us. So we're going to be showing a few pictures here this evening. And as I speak, if you would just look at those pictures sporadically, it's going to share with you a few things about our ministry. I'm going to present it to you in four facets. First, preach evangelistic ministries. In order to understand what we're doing, you have to understand who we're working with. Preach Ministries is a local church ministry out of Wilson Creek Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. We are a local church ministry, a group and team of missionaries sent out of that church to reach and establish the gospel among the Portuguese-speaking people. My wife and I have been given the task of coordinating the country of Cape Verde, of which we have been laboring there since about 2009. Preach Ministries has a couple of things that are important to understand about it. First, it is our ethno-linguistic approach to missions, meaning that we do not have a particular nation that we are focusing on. We're focusing upon people based according to the language that they speak, which is the Portuguese language, which is right now spread abroad in 10 nations and scattering up in several large pockets of peoples all around the world. This ministry also, as I've mentioned, is a team laboring ministry. We feel that it is a New Testament model of missions that as the missionaries are sent out, that they go out two by two. Not only that, the giftings of the New Testament show that men are not capable of planning and starting and furnishing a church in his own ability. It is the body of Christ that furnishes those things. So as we labor to do that, the team labor is very essential to what we're doing. In addition to that, of course, the national pastors, and our end goal is to leave an indigenous church planted on the field. Everything that we do, everything that we're involved in is essential to that. Our past, if you will, since about 2009, my wife went over there and spent about a year and a half on an internship in the islands of Cape Verde. We were laboring in our home church, we knew that the Lord was eventually going to take us to the mission field, but did not know how soon or in what direction. As we were laboring in our home church, Preach Ministries, and our pastor came up to us and said, "We feel that you guys are ready to start this process and ask us to go to the islands of Cape Verde." We submitted to that and said, "Lord, if you'd have us go, we'd be happy to serve you." And as we spent a year there, the Lord confirmed that direction in our hearts. We returned home and raised our support. This is something that as a ministry, Preach Ministries has started mentoring men for mission. Right now in missions, there is an 80% dropout rate among first-time going missionaries. Within the first 2 to 3 years, they return home, facing immense difficulty culturally, linguistically, even spiritually. Often, what we feel is sufficient is for them to have a college degree and a commissioning church, and that's all they need. But often, we are unaware of all the difficulty that they face as they arrive on that foreign field. The Mentoring Men for Mission program is a year-and-a-half internship that we require that missionaries that serve with us to go through that, preparing them in a more wholesome manner for the work that they are going into. And as they complete that, we encourage them to then raise their support and then ask for the sponsorship of churches to send them to do the work that God has called them to. If truly God has called them, a year and a half ain't going to make much of a difference. Amen. It is going to only enrich and encourage them in the ministry that they're being sent to. As we completed that and raised our support, we went to the islands. We took over a church plant, the First Baptist Church of Pedro Badejo, that had already been started by a family that was working there. They had went through a car wreck, and eventually they had to come off the field because of that. We stepped into their work, and the Lord blessed that. We labored there for about 2 years and got that work to a point of maturity. And we stepped about an hour off in further distance and started another church there. It was the First Baptist Church of Asomata. That was in April of 2014. As the Lord began that work there, we saw it grow and flourish. All the while, in the islands of Cape Verde, we have the Baptist Theological Seminary. You may have already seen a picture of it there. The islands of Cape Verde are called the gateway to West Africa, meaning that within our two churches alone, we have over 15 different ethnic peoples represented within the congregation. It's a melting pot of sort for West Africa. As we use that place, we hope to be able to train and send out men, not only in the Portuguese language, but right now we're offering courses in English, French, and Portuguese. So as these men are trained, we want them to go out and labor alongside other missionaries, or if the Lord would so please, to have them as well be missionary pioneer work starters in the places that God would call them to. Right now, we have men in Guinea-Bissau. We have a couple of men in Brazil starting churches, and also two of these men that you've perhaps seen already in the pictures, Brother Charles Teixeira and Brother Julio Nunke, have taken national leadership of the churches there that were started in our last term. That's sort of our past and our present. We've been home for a few months on furlough, raising some additional support, presenting the work to our supporting churches, and the Lord's opened up several opportunities while we've been home. The Lord sent us another family this year that's going through their training right now. We took them back over to the field in June and July for their survey trip, and then in August, we were able to participate in the Olympics there in Brazil. It was a very good trip. My wife went expecting Sadie, and the Lord protected her. Nobody got the Zika virus. Can you believe it? Amen. Y'all laugh, amen. Nonetheless, we praise the Lord for his protection and all those things, and we're able to get those literatures distributed. About 25,000 John and Romans were handed out at the Olympic Games, and then another two containers, which were supposedly, hopefully this week, released from port, are being dispersed into about 45 churches in the region of São Paulo. It's more of a distribution project to those churches there, and the Lord's blessing that aspect of our ministry as well. Our future will be that we're returning to Cape Verde the 14th of February. As we get back, We'll be checking back in on the works, re-encouraging the brethren there, and setting our eyes on the other islands. We have three islands in particular that there are no churches of any kind bearing the Catholic Church that's already there. We would like to take the men that are in training right now and assist us in starting churches among those particular islands, keeping in mind as well that we labor with a team of other missionaries that work in other Portuguese nations. At times, we are in those places as well, laboring with them and helping them in their ministry as well. The Lord has given so many opportunities, which I don't have time to share with you this evening, but I'll share one of them. Since 2006 in Cape Verde, we have had an open door in the public schools. Every year between the months of June, July, and August, we are given an open invitation to come in and hand out a New Testament and take as long as we want in every classroom.
Amen.
To date, we've handed out over 250,000 New Testaments in the government school system there. And every year that opportunity represents itself. The younger generation, as they come up, we're able to go in and preach the gospel. And the Lord, we've seen a great harvest of those things through that. But we know that to reach a nation, the Word of God has to be there.
Amen.
The Word of God has to be in the hands of the people. That's why I love the ministry of First Bible International. I believe in it. I know that it is essential to the work of God. In that in mind, we are doing everything within our power, utilizing every tool that we can to reach these people for the gospel, for the gospel's sake, for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Amen. We ask that you be in prayer with us. Take some of our prayer cards. I often ask people to not stick them on the outside of your refrigerator, but put them on the inside. You say, well, why? Because I know you look on the inside a lot more than you do the outside. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
He literally could have gone at that pace for 30 minutes and told exactly what all's happening. We have the real deal missionaries here with us in this conference, the real deal missionaries. And he learned it well. He's a third generation missionary, but he's a first generation Christian. And I'm so thankful that he's not doing what his parents have told him to do. He's doing what God has called him to do. And but the heritage that he brings and all of the experience that he has going into it, he's already at his age. He's ramped up, you know, several levels than someone his age and his experience. And so we're thankful for that and all that he's been able to accomplish for the Lord's glory. And we need to partner with these kinds of folks, and that's why we have these kinds of missionaries to present to you and to support and all of that, and we'll deal with that on tomorrow night as far as taking on these new missionaries. Is there, you mentioned those Bibles. I have been a part of that one time, and you mentioned those Bibles. How do you all get those Bibles? You get them from places like First Bible and... what kind of price tag goes on those?
One container right now to West Africa is about $16,000.
Wow. And how often do you it's like one container every few years or one container of what? So historically, how has that gone? How many, like in a 3 or 4 year period, how many containers? Amen. A million and a half pounds in the last few years of Bibles and gospel tracts and materials to be distributed there in Africa. I wish we could just do a whole container. I don't know if we can do them. Maybe build up to that one day, but maybe we could do a fourth of a container.
Amen.
If three other churches and us, you know, got together and to ship over, how much is a container? I mean, how much does a container hold?
It depends on the material, but
Yeah. Cases of New Testaments can fit in a container. 8,000 cases. Well, that's the kind of seed we have to get out of the barn and get it into the field. And that would be $16,000. Fourth of that would be $4,000. Does anybody else have a burden for that? Anybody else have a motion? You'll do four? Space Coast Baptist Church. You think they won't kick you out? Amen. You got half. You got half. Well, praise God. Anybody else want to do a fourth? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Woo! Glory. Okay, back to it. Motion. Motion. Are you doing a fourth? Motion. A motion. How about a second? How about a second? Okay, doctor. A second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Amen. God bless you. Well, amen. Well, half a container is all packed up as far as our end. You got the hard work. And, well, praise the Lord. Amen. This is so good. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to give. And what a surprise. Well, God bless your heart. You want to come back tomorrow night and sing too? Marvelous. Amen. Well, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. 441. Brother David, come lead us, please, if you will.
Let's stand once again as we sing. 441. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, touch them and empty from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. On that third verse, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings are buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, weakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate no more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for your labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wending, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Amen. Let's shake hands and fellowship one with another. God bless you. Good to see you here tonight. Be friendly one with another. God bless you. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. Wonderful. God bless you. You may be seated if you can find your seat. Amen. Now tomorrow night, please be sure, if you can bring a dessert, that will be great. If you cannot bring a dessert, you come back anyway. You come anyway. We're going to have plenty of desserts to go around, I guarantee you. Someone said, now, do we have to be able to put it on a plate, you know, cut it and things like that? One of our dear ladies, I said, well, I guess it'd be hard to slice banana pudding. She said, that's what I was going to make. I said, bring it. That'll be good. They're going to serve that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, banana pudding. Amen. And bring some desserts, and all the meal will be served to you, and you won't have to do anything. Just come in and enjoy the dinner. Our teens will be serving, and it'll be a marvelous opportunity. You can see we're already set up there in the activities building. Going to have a great time together. So 7 o'clock, be in your place, and it'll be a great time together. Ushers, come on down, please, if you will. Also, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a good report that's going to be given tomorrow night that you all have been praying about. An answer to prayer has come about, and it's not a coincidence. It's marvelous how God works, and so you're going to hear that testimony tomorrow night, so I know it'll be encouraging to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so very much for all your blessings upon our lives. We're not worthy of your grace. Thank you so much for loving us. I pray now that you'll bless this offering, both the gifts and the givers. Bless our missionaries. Bless every family that set aside time to be here in your house tonight. Lord, I pray for those that could not come tonight due to illness, due to other reasons that hindered them from coming to church, and they're watching by way of live stream. Lord, may they sense the closeness of the Holy Spirit speaking in their heart tonight, through the music, through the message of your word. And Lord, bind our hearts together in love. May we be unified in one spirit and one purpose, and that is to win the lost for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What a joy to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. Come on back and sing again if you will. And we're just going to move right along and want to conserve as much time for the preaching of God's word. And I don't know, share something about your church and what else is going on.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
God's been so good to us, and we praise him for his goodness. And you just have to just grab the bull by the horns and just hang on, and God is so good, and it's wonderful, isn't it, just to find what God is doing, and just to get in God's way. And Abraham's servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Well, when you get in the way, just go with God, and God's been so faithful and so good to us, and we rejoice in that. And as you think about us, pray for us. And Brother Reynolds used to say that we were in Samsula. And you tell him next time you see him, the next time he finds the Samsula post office, he can call it Samsula. But it is a new Smyrna Beach, and God's so good to us and so faithful. And we're praying that God will extend our ministry as we have a heart to reach out, start churches, do his will and his work his way. And it's a pleasure and a joy to have your friendship, and Brother Sears, so happy that God has placed him here. And some things he and I want to do for the Lord together, and I'm praying God will bring that to pass. And our part of Florida needs for our kinds of churches who agree in faith and practice to love each other and know who we are and pray for each other and work together on a few things. And don't have to compromise to get along. And I'm excited about that and looking forward to how God uses us together. If Jesus tarries his coming, I have a great excitement about the future. I do. And what he's going to do in the state of Florida. And we need some young men and some middle-aged men to continue to have a heart for the state of Florida. You know, every time an election comes along, we kind of see that as Florida goes, so goes the country. Isn't that true, isn't it? And we have a lot of work to do, but we have a great God, and we thank God for his goodness to us. I hope you'll enjoy this song as we think about the vicarious sufferings of Christ and what he accomplished for us, his life for mine. His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. Sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be? God's Son would die, Jesus would die to save. Divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, his life for mine.
Preach after that. Oh, Brother Cox. Love that guy. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. One more time for some thoughts in regards to faith promise. While you're turning there, remind you of the CDs that are in the back. If you're interested in your children memorizing the Bible to music, there are some back there still, and I did put some more unpublished words out if you didn't get one. There's some different ones back there, and if those go out, I still have some more. They're free to be able to get to you. And then the ushers gave you a handout when you came in. This is the current project that we're working on right now, the Thadu language. We already printed the New Testament in the Thadu language back in 13, and now we've got the whole Bible translated and ready to print, and we're praying that we can have those funds raised hopefully by April of this year, and then print it in May and possibly even distribute it still this year. And so that's the Thadu-speaking people in South India. And we have a team from First Bible right now that's over in India. They are handing out the last one that we just finished, and that's in the Kannada language. And that's for Middle India. And our team is over there right now doing some national training work, working in the college, and handing out those Kannada Bibles. And praise the Lord for that. Some folks wanted to know in regards to how is the marriage in regards to First Bible and Bearing Precious Seed. And for those that don't know, it's the same founder. Dr. Keene started both ministries. And Bearing Precious Seed has been printing the Word of God now for 3 years, I believe that it is. And you have to understand, this is not some small printing press down in the basement of a church somewhere. They print well over 10 million copies of the Word of God a year. It's a massive, wonderful, praise the Lord, organization. We thank God for what's happening there. Actually, the whole system is going to shut down here in the next few weeks to put on a whole new tower that's going to almost double the printing capacity of that. And we're just grateful to be able to get it out as much as we possibly can. So we do the translation work. Bearing Precious Seed does the printing. We do the distribution and help start the churches where there's never been churches before. So thank you for your part in helping us to be able to make people aware of the fact that those needs are out there so that we can get churches like you to help us financially to get all these different projects done. Many churches are supporting First Bible on a regular basis as far as a ministry is concerned. Many churches do projects, Christmas offerings, vacation Bible schools, special offerings, whatever, for different projects as they come up, all kinds of different ways. And you folks were very involved. I believe last year you folks gave $6,000 for the Kannada Bible. And know that that's accomplished. Know that they're actually handing those out as we speak right now to those people. And we are very, very grateful for what God's doing in that. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have given you some thoughts in regards to faith promise. Hopefully you got the definition. Faith promise giving is money that God will give through you that he would not have given to you except he knew you were going to give it to missions. Many of you have been praying now in regards to what you're going to be able to do this year. I hope that you're willing to increase your faith. We talked about the importance of increasing your faith. We talked about the importance of giving out of what you have. And also giving out of what you don't have, trusting God by faith to give that money through you. It's money that you can't even figure out. But God in his mercy does that for you. We talked about the abundance of your giving and how important it is to give out of your love. The amount of money that you give many times is in proportion to your love for the Savior in regards to that. And so it all boils down to one verse in verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians, of verse number 8, and it says, now therefore perform the doing of it. That's pretty clear. That's pretty straightforward. There needs to be a time when you look at that card and you have peace between you and God, and it's time to put that amount on there that we talked about. Philippians 4 becomes the need for God to be able to meet. And I'm just anticipating wonderful things for what God is going to do this year through you folks with your faith promise giving. Go back to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17, if you would please. Heavenly Father, we are already blessed beyond measure. with what has already happened tonight. Thank you to know that another container is well on its way to get done, to send out to these mission fields, knowing that it's not going to sit at a dock somewhere, knowing it's not going to go to a warehouse somewhere and never be distributed, but it's going to get out to people as quickly as we possibly can. Thank you for these dear missionaries. Thank you for their willingness to do what they do and all the different aspects of it. Lord, I pray you'll bless them. Please. Thank you for Brother Cox. Thank you for his work at Space Coast. Thank you for that bright light with the gospel of Jesus. And I pray that you'll bless him, his sweet family, and that church, and use him in a powerful way. Now, Father, we need you again, please, to open our eyes in your word to behold wondrous things. I pray that you would, please, help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to think what you want us to think. Lord, I know when young people and adults go to the mission field just to be able to see the sights and hear the sounds and smell the smells, changes them many times for the rest of their life. Would you open the Word of God to us that way tonight? Make it clear. Lord, I must decrease, and you must increase in me. Please. We'll trust it by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1. The scripture says, and Elijah the Tishbite, start right off in verse number 1, and you go, what? Anybody know what a Tishbite is? I had no idea. I had to look it up. It's the people that are from this little unknown place called Tishbe. And it kind of makes me think that God can take someone who is a nobody from a seemingly unknown place and make him somebody someplace one day for the glory of God. Amen? You might feel like that you're one of those people that I don't know if God's ever going to be able to use me, and if he does, I don't know where it's going to be. If God can take Elijah from Tishbe and use him in the most powerful way that God used him, he can certainly use us. And then he talks about what has to be done, though. And that's what I want to key in on just for a few moments that we have left in this regular preaching time of this conference. And that is before Elijah ever makes that trek up Mount Carmel. I had the privilege of going over there, had the privilege of being in Israel back for our 25th wedding anniversary. The church I was pastoring sent us over there. Brother Tom Farrell and Jimmy DeYoung were our tour guides, and wow, it was an experience. And to stand at that biblical location of Mount Carmel and to hear Jimmy DeYoung preach this text from that spot and to see that sight, I've never been the same since. But before he could ever go there, before he could ever see the results in answer to prayer, to look up into the sky and to see that cloud the size of a man's fist that's about to bring an answer to prayer in rain that's unbelievable in itself, before any of that could happen, God had to do something in Elijah's life to get him ready for that experience. I firmly believe that God has something for every one of us here tonight. Every one of us. Nobody excluded. God wants to use you some way, somewhere for his glory. Whether it's in your house or in your neighborhood or at your job place or at the grocery store or at the bank or wherever that it might be, God wants to use you somehow, somewhere. But you might have to go through a process in order for that to happen. That's what we have right here in chapter number 17, is that process for Elijah. And that process starts in verse number 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. That's before Jordan. Notice the word of the Lord came to him and said, go to Cherith. When's the last time that you were in your time with God in the Word of God and the Word of the Lord came unto you? It wasn't just read. It was more than just dialogue. It was as if the living book breathed on you. It was as if a knife kind of pierced a page and a little bit of blood started to flow and it got real personal to you. That's a wonderful thing to have happen. We all need that. We all need to sometimes slow down our regular disciplines, and I'm not against the disciplines, but sometimes we need to slow down, and if it's just read a couple of verses and let those verses live in and through us, it's a powerful thing. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, go to Brook Cherith, and at Brook Cherith, for it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. 5, and he went and did. No discussion. No, I'm not really sure why. No, are you sure that this is what you want me to do? But he just went and did. And at Cherith, I believe that God was about to show Elijah, I can take care of you. There's an interesting phrase right there that proves it in verse number 3. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. I take that to mean when you go to Cherith, you're going to find out that I can take care of you better than your job. I can take care of you better than your rich relative. I can take care of you with more assurity than your investments. Elijah, I can take care of you by the most unlikely source. You're going to drink from a brook, and you're going to be fed by a raven. Now, sister, the brook I don't have a problem with. I like drinking from the brooks. I was raised in the country. Get me out in the stream. Get me near one of those brooks. No water tastes better than out of a good, cool brook. Amen? But what do you know about a raven? I don't know. I don't know if you have many of them around here up north. We see them quite often. And the place that we always see them up north is in the middle of the road eating the roadkill. That's where you find the ravens. They're the garbage bird. And God said, I'm going to prove to you I can take care of you from the brook and the raven. You see, one of the reasons, preacher, a lot of people don't ever want to go to Cherith is because they don't want to stay there. Sometimes it's not a problem to go, but they feel like if they go there, they're going to be there for a long, long time. I don't believe you have to stay at Cherith any longer than you need to once you're convinced that God can take care of you. And God knows whether or not you're convinced of that. It's amazing how we can put our confidence in our seniority or our confidence in that account in the bank or the stocks that you're very clever about taking care of, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God can do it better. The question is do you believe it? If it was all gone, if you woke up tomorrow and you found out the job wasn't there and all the investments and all the IRAs and everything that you have been working for all this time, it's just gone. You say, preacher, that's just ridiculous. That's not going to happen. Wow. You really believe that? Because we all know it can. Hello? We all know it can. If that happens, do you believe that God can take care of you? Notice it says in verse number 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And so verse number 7 clearly teaches me that it only has to be for a while. Only long enough for you to learn that God can take care of you, but it might have to get desperate for you to be able to figure that out. It got desperate right here. Preacher, I've read this text many, many times, and I've often thought to myself, why did the brook have to dry up? Why didn't he kill the bird? Amen? I mean, seriously. And then the thought occurred to me that you can live a long time without food. You can't live very long without water. And it got desperate. And when God knew that Elijah knew that God could take care of him, he says in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went. Do you see a pattern? Cherith, verse 5, he went and did. Zarephath, verse 10, he arose and went. When God got his attention and told him where to go, it's not a whole bunch of dialogue as to why or why not. It's just they got up and went. I am 100% convinced if we could get more folks in our churches today that know they've got the word of God on it, that God has called them to go do something, but they're waiting for everything to align properly before they go. They're waiting for the kids to get to the right age. They're waiting for the money in the accounts to have a certain amount. They're waiting for health to something to take care of. They're waiting for surgeries. They're waiting for everything. If you're waiting for all that to happen, I promise you the devil will never let all that come together. Sometimes you have to just get up and go. If you've got the word of God on it, go. And trust God for the results. He'll take care of you. Not only do you need to know that he'll take care of you, but he sends him to Zarephath, I believe now, to prove to you that God can take care of him. Elijah, go to Zarephath, because at Zarephath, all those that know you are now going to become convinced that I can take care of you. In a way that is going to make no sense to them whatsoever. All they'll be able to do is say, wow, God can. And so he arose and went. 10, and so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. She's not planning on making a big fire. She's not planning on making a lot of food. She's planning on dying. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And now it gets complicated. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do. I don't think Elijah could have told her to go and do if he hadn't proven that he was willing to went and did and arose and went. But since he's proved that he is willing to do that in both situations, now he knows he's got the Word of God on this, and even though it doesn't make any sense, because I promise you the brook and the bird made no sense at all. And I'm positive when he found out he's going to Zarephath to have a widow woman that's ready to die to take care of him, that's not making any sense either. So now he knows this thing is going to work. Lady, you just need to go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. I never understood that verse until just a few years ago. I doubt there's anybody here that would agree that you would want to put yourself in that position and say those words to that dear, sweet widow lady. Before you go prepare to die, feed me first. Wow. As a pastor of 25 years, one of the things that we independent fundamental Baptists have got figured out, all of you would agree, is we know how to always get the right answer. We know how to eat. We know how to eat well. I mean, we can put on the buffets. We have got it all figured out. Now, I don't know your preacher, but I'm relatively sure that I'm safe in this. You have the potlucks, and you put it all out, and everything is all good, and preacher prays, and you all go through, and you get your food. Does your preacher go through first or last? I'm going to guess it's last every time. I'm going to guess his parking place is the furthest one away from the church. I'm going to guess he's the first one here, the last one to leave. I'm going to guess that that's just what they do. Not because it's recognition. It's serving one another for the glory of God. I'm sure that's what he does. In fact, how many times has your preacher, after a buffet meal that you guys all set up the way that Baptists can do it, how many times has he got up and said, wasn't that an incredible meal? Said it often? It must have been amazing. Because he ate everything that you wouldn't. You left it all, your kids handled it all, spit on it, slung snot all over it. And now the poor preacher's got to come through and try to dig through and find something that's somewhat edible, and then he gets up and says, wasn't that incredible? Wow. I mean, it must really have been something. And then the Lord did something in our lives. And he took us from the pastorate and allowed us the privilege of being missionaries. Now, when missionaries come in and you set up that whole buffet and everything about it, what do you make us do? Go through first or last? The first time that happened to my wife and I can remember it as clear as I'm standing in front of you right now. The preacher said, come on, Brother Marwelli, Miss Marwelli, you need to go ahead and go. I looked at her and she looked at me and we looked at that food and we said, this is what it's supposed to look like? Wow! This is amazing! And it's still difficult, very difficult to go through first. And he said, first, feed me. Because I want those doubters that are out there that are watching to know how God can take care of me. For thus saith the Lord God, 14 of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat, best I can figure out, at least 2.5 years. What's my favorite word? Wow. That is a wow moment right there. Whereas, I think I heard that you're having the privilege of taking the young people to the wilds. I had the privilege of taking at least 21 groups to the wilds. From Florida, Alabama, Michigan, it didn't matter what place God had me in. It was a 14-hour bus ride, one way, no matter where I was. We'd leave at midnight, Sunday night after church, so we could get there at 2 o'clock so that the kids could have the first choice to get the best bunks. I mean, I'm talking about way back when the dorms were birdhouses. Back in the day. Wonderful days. And how many hundreds and hundreds of decisions that I have watched. It's a proven fact. If you're praying about whether or not your young person goes to camp, it's a proven fact there's more lasting decisions made in a good camp setting than any other religious setting that there is today.
Right.
Send them. Amen. Sacrifice. Do whatever you have to do to send them. If you don't have children and you have a little bit of extra that you can help somebody else go to that parent and say, I know you're struggling, I'll help you. It'll pay eternal dividends for you to get them to camp. But just getting them there is not the end of the game. We've watched them, and God works miraculously in their lives, and they make tremendous decisions for the glory of God. And several of them surrender to full-time service, and they come back all excited, all pumped, all thrilled about what God is going to do, and they get up on testimony night the Sunday after they're doing. A few folks do that also, and they say, well, I'm so thrilled that God got a hold of my heart, and I have surrendered to go wherever he wants me to go and do whatever he wants me to do, and I believe it's going to be in whatever that it is. Praise the Lord. How exciting is that? Only to have Dad meet him at the door when they get home and say, why didn't you tell me about this? Are you really planning on going to Burkina Faso? Do you understand that everything that you see here, I am doing that for you? Do you understand all the hours that I put in at work and all that becomes yours? You're going to leave all of this to go live there with them? You are nuts. You're not going to do that. What's that dad saying? I can take care of you a whole lot better than God can. How many grandpas, they sat in the pew when they heard that testimony from that granddaughter. They invited themselves over for coffee that night. They said, honey, you really think you're taking my grandkids somewhere to the other side of the world? Where I might not even be able to see him, but once every 4 years, and maybe not even that. You're not going to do that, are you really? What's Grandpa saying? I can take care of you and those grandkids a whole lot better than God can. And God said to Elijah, Zarephath, you got to go there. Because I have to prove to Dad and Grandma and the boss and the friends, I can take care of you. And they need to know it. And he went and did. So now Elijah knows that God can take care of him. It's proven. Drank from the brook. Ate from the raven. The brook dried up and he went to Zarephath. Zarephath, God has proven to everybody out there that God can take care of them. When they're in the center of God's will, doing what God wants them to do, God can take care of them in ways that we can't ever even imagine or think. Now that we've got that table all set, now, Elijah, I'm about to let you be involved in something that has never yet been done. 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. We now have a dead boy. You thought it got desperate when the brook dried up? Now we've got a dead boy. And Elijah doesn't have a clue what to do. No idea. No idea what to do. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft, a loft where he abode, and laid him on his bed. He did the only thing he knew to do. He didn't have a clue. Church, he has no idea what to do with a dead boy. He's never dealt with this before at all. He doesn't know what to do. So he does the only thing he knows to do. He picks up the boy and he takes him up into the chamber, the prayer room, alone, all by himself. That was alone, all by himself. We have a real problem with that alone thing today. Maybe you have a cell phone in your pocket. Anybody? I might give it back. I'll give it back. It's pink. Alone. Sometimes we need to take this out of our pocket and put it there and go to the prayer room. Breathe. It's okay. Breathe in. Breathe out. It's okay. I know. If you happen to leave that at home, and if it's a choice of going back to get it and being late for work or going all day without it, you're going back. I know. I understand. It's okay. But can you imagine? We are in prayer with a holy, omnipotent, Jehovah Jireh God. We say our Father and we enter into his presence and we have his full attention. He has turned his ear toward us. He is listening to our request. We are in communion with God Almighty. And our phone rings. And we go, "Hey, how's it going?" And you just interrupted God for a cell phone call? Really? Do we even know what it is to get alone with God anymore? I promise you, if it gets desperate enough, you'll want to know how to. It would be good if we could remember that prayer closet again. It'd be good if we could rename that chamber wherever that it is. If it's outside on a rock or a tree stump, or if it's in a closet or beside your bed or walking down the road or wherever it is, it'd be good to rename that place and revisit that place alone with you and God. and do some pretty serious business. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times. I don't know why three. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Your theological, well-advanced preacher from me or Brother Cox or one of these other smart missionaries can tell you. I have no idea. But he did it three times, okay? And he stretched himself three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. Understand what's going on downstairs. They're preparing for a funeral. Obituary's been put in the paper. Funeral dinner has been prepared. The preacher's been called in. Everyone is in place to bury this child. This dead child that was carried up into the loft. Dead. Honey, what is that I hear? There's a creaking of the old boards up in the loft. There seems to be some movement. And everybody gets silent. And all eyes look at the stairway. And coming down that stairway is that prophet. And he has in his arms that child. Could you imagine being that mom? And that prophet says, here, your child lives. Hallelujah. Woo, that's an amen spot right there, I promise you. That dead boy got up. First time that's happened in the Bible. We haven't seen that happen yet. But Elijah went through the process that he needed to go through to be able to be used by God to do something that hasn't yet been done. What's this all about? Preacher, what's this conference all about? Is this conference all about another conference that we do every year and we'll take the faith promise cards tomorrow and we'll read a tremendous result and we'll do the same things that we do every year? Or is it about getting ourselves in a place to watch God do something that has yet to be done for the first time through us? We had a team last year that went to Armenia. And they had Bibles for the Armenian people for the first time. And the team was going to a place of dedication for these Bibles. And it was a little bit of a journey. And they stopped underneath a shade tree to get some respite. They had the boxes of Bibles that they were carrying, and the team was there, and they were resting, and they looked out into the field, and there were some migrant workers working out there in the field. And as they watched, there was a dear, sweet lady that was making her way to that same tree for shade and lunch. That sweet lady from Armenia got under that shade tree and introduced herself. And asked the preacher's wife, can I ask what you're doing here? Sure can. You sure can. Because God brought a Armenian lady from the fields to a shade tree and a preacher's wife from Milford, Ohio, to that same shade tree at the same time with a Bible for the first time. And they were able to open the gospel and share the gospel with that lady, and she was miraculously saved. Preacher, what you're trying to do is a little bit ridiculous, don't you think? They're unreached people groups for a reason. Half the world has not yet been touched with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for a reason. Not only are they unreached, they're unreachable. They cost way too much money. It's too much of an effort. We're not going to do it. We're going to spend our money. We're going to send our people where we get the most bang for our buck. You are wasting our time, says many people, sitting in church pews in churches just like this. But there are some. There are some that are sitting in those pews that see it. They see what can happen when somebody reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life for the first time." And they're willing to reach in and sacrificially give, that the Word of God can be translated and printed and put together and shipped in containers and delivered for results that are many times the first time that it's ever happened in our life. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, I pray that you would take these thoughts from Elijah, burn them deep within us. In just a moment, the piano is going to play, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and we will give you an opportunity to make a decision at this altar. There's been a lot of things that have been discussed. There's lots of opportunities for decision. Maybe you are one that just needs to come and say, "Okay, I see I've been putting my faith in the wrong things for my security. I need to ask you to forgive me of that. I know that you can take care of me far better than any of these other things I've been trusting in." Maybe you're that dad. Maybe you're that grandma. Maybe you're that best friend. Maybe you're that boss that has discouraged somebody from going. And today that person is sitting in this building. They were all excited once, but they got very unexcited quickly when all the negativity started. Maybe you're that person. You know God called you. You've got the Word of God on it. There isn't any question about that, but you have every reason imaginable as to why you haven't gone. You might need to come and take care of that tonight. And then maybe, just perhaps, there's somebody that'll come to this altar tonight and say, "Oh, would you use me to allow something to happen that you've already said needs to happen but hasn't yet happened? Help me to get the gospel to somebody, to be a part of that for the first time." The piano begins to play, and let's stand and move. Just stand and move. Just stand and find a place at this altar right now. Come on. "Lord, I know that you can take care of me. Please forgive me for putting my trust in the wrong securities. Lord, help me not to ever be the one that complains or discourages someone from going. Lord, as I pray about that amount, will you let me be one that can be used by you to do something that has yet to be done? Please."
wait just a moment. Will you make that commitment to the Lord Jesus even where you stand? Will you seek His will? Lord, if you won't let me go, what will you let me do so someone else will go? Will you make it a priority? Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your all for us. Lord, you could demand everything from us, but only willing love and willing surrender is worth. It's worth the price that you paid. I ask you now that you would help us to breathe every breath as a gift from thee. I'm speaking with some ladies before church. And Lord, they reminded me that we're all on borrowed time, every last one of us. So Lord, help us now to serve you, help us to love you, spend time. Lord, I pray that we would put you first in everything that we say and do. Thank you for this great message. Thank you for the reminder that you're in charge and you're in control and you can protect and you can provide. And you have and you will as we trust in you. Lord, we go with this confidence, thanking you for what you're going to do through us. Help us to obey now. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Some of the best preaching I've ever heard has been this week, and I am so thankful for what God has done through Brother Marwelli. God bless your heart. He'll be wrapping things up on tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We'll be eating in the beginning part of the 7 o'clock time. So if you're late, you might get in on dessert, okay? So make sure that you're here, and it'll be a marvelous time. And we'll be in there the whole time. We won't be coming over here for the service. We'll be in there the whole time, and then we'll be praying much for Sunday. Well, missionaries, if you all head on back to the back there, I know that we're going to have some folks want to pick up a prayer card. And the Wadleys, this is the last time that they'll be with us tonight for quite some time. So make sure that you get their prayer card, and if you have not met them yet, make sure that you do so. Also, our booklets we'll be giving out on Thursday night. I'll be giving those out. They're done, and we have them in hand with all of our missionaries, and that'll be given out tomorrow evening. And then don't forget, Super Seniors is signing up tonight. Okay, signing up tonight for the Super Seniors. So make sure and do that Super Senior dinner, and that is in a couple of weeks, right? Oh, Tangier Mall, going shopping. All right, okay. So that's on the 30th. So sign up with Brother Jim. God bless you, folks. Have a great night. Great to have you here. God bless you.